Welcome to the 2 Acre Homestead Podcast. We're your host, Lisa.
And Kevin.
And on today's episode, we're talking about how we survived a storm. That's what's coming up on today's episode. Welcome to the 2 Acre Homestead. Come along with us on our journey from a small, suburban homestead lifestyle
to our new lifestyle, homesteading in the rural countryside of southern Arizona.
We'll share with you our tips, tricks, successes, and failures
from both our past suburban lifestyle to our new rural lifestyle,
all on the 2 Acre Homestead. Welcome back. It's good to be back in studio. We took a little bit of a hiatus. How's it going in your world?
Pretty good. Lots of stuff, like always. One of our does just kitted twins. That was a complete surprise. So
yes,
we didn't
it was.
Quite know the date, basically, Maple. We didn't know the exact date that she was going to kid, and what was it, a couple days ago, I went out there and heard a youngling, and
a little kid.
Said, okay, I guess we need names now.
If you follow us on Instagram, you'll actually hear and see Kevin's voice on that Monday morning. Well, I think it's past now because it was a story, but if you had followed us on Instagram, you would have seen how that looked on that day that you actually discovered there were kids in the barn.
Yep. And so this week is the first week of milking her, right? So.
Yeah. Super excited to be in milk.
Yep.
Super excited.
Does that mean I get to make ice cream soon?
Yes. Ice cream is on the table.
So, yeah, and been working in the gardens. We had some rows that needed desperate attention. Against our better judgment, we chose to rototill those rows. Now, I know a lot of people don't like, they want to do no-till, but there's times when you need to, and in Arizona, sometimes it's practical to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We had tried cardboard and weed fabric, but we have a type of weed that's really invasive. It's bindweed.
Oh, and I hate that. Hate that weed.
It's a type of morning glory, and man, that weed's, it's a pain.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting over this time with those rows, and we're going to use a non-plastic weed fabric, a boatload of wood chips, and hopefully that'll keep the weeds down in that part of the garden.
Yeah, I feel like the weeds, I feel like for this season, they've already got a head start on the garden. I mean, we barely put our feet out into the garden this year and the weeds are already there. I think it's because we had a really mild winter. We didn't even hardly get any snow. The mountains got snow, but we didn't get any snow.
But then we got more precipitation. We had
a lot of rain.
Mm-hmm. Right? We had, it wasn't a monsoon, they say, but mm-hmm. typically we get the monsoons here. 2 years ago, we got a pretty, wet monsoon,
mm-hmm.
but, we almost had a little bit of flooding going on, but last summer, not so much, mm-mm. but we got a lot of rains.
A lot of rain, hardly any snow. I think we only had like 2 snow days, mm-hmm. and that was it. That was really disappointing. So I think that's why the weeds have they've got a jump start. But I think that in the pathways, we probably just in retrospect, we probably didn't put down enough cardboard and then putting the wood chips down. I think we just did one layer of cardboard and the weeds are just punching through that now. So now it's the redo.
Love the redo.
But, we have a lot of garden a lot of garden and a lot of wood chips. So that actually leads me to give a shout out to a local company here. If you are in southern Arizona, specifically the Cochise County area, you want to look into an arborist company called Asplund. And that's spelled
Asplundh.
There we go.
I can't remember if they're outside of Arizona, but they're pretty extensive.
They are.
So you can look it up. Maybe they're in other states, but.
Definitely. But they are amazing at providing free wood chips. And that's where we get all of our wood chips from. And we have just a nice standing order with them whenever they're in our area and there's wood chips to be dumped. They know they can come to our house and they just, so we just get like a dump of wood chips periodically and it works out fab.
It's awesome. Long story short, basically they trim trees where there's power lines. You bug them. And I, you know, asked you a few times, many times to bug them. Right. And you get put on their list. And now it's funny. Some mornings I hear the beep, beep, right. And they're dumping it out there and they know where to put it. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, imagine if you just bought a bunch of bags for, I don't know, $5 a bag. And, you know, we get a huge pile. So yeah,
exactly. And
real beneficial.
So it's really, really good. So check them out. It's Asplund, and their website is asplund.com. Go ahead, check them out. They are fabulous to work with.
Yep.
Well, what else has been going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, so we discovered that the sire for two of our does is a kikobore. So that changed this year's kidding season for us, right? Because our plan has been to be in milk. So now it's our goal to have meat goats, but we're thinking that might be a blessing in disguise. Meat, you know, goat meat. We don't really like it. But the price of beef.
Have you been to the grocery store? Yeah,
it's ridiculous. yeah. So we've tried goat meat. Don't really like it. Mm-mm. But I think what we'll do, we've talked about this. We'll have it processed. We'll try some and see. If it goes well, fine. If not, I guess we'll have to share it. So
share the love. Yeah, goat meat, you know, it's never really been up there on our list of things to like. I know for, you know, my family, you know, my side of the family, there's Creole, and my side of the family, and goat is something that is cooked. I just have never been able to eat it. People have tried to disguise it in so many different ways, and I can pick it out every single time. So I don't know. We'll try it. Definitely, like you said. And you know what? We just might have to just like swallow our pride on this one and be like, you know what? This is what our homestead is providing, and this is what we got, and this is what we're going to eat. So it just, we may have to just pull up our bootstraps and.
Although, you know, that reminds me, I never liked Brussels sprouts. And there was a specific way you cooked it. I don't even remember what you did, but it was more than tolerable.
Roasted it with, it's a very simple recipe. You just slice them in half, roast them with a little bit of olive oil, salt, and throw in some crushed walnuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yum, yum, yum.
So,
yeah,
you know, maybe there's some recipe that we just need to try. And anyway.
Well, and the thing is, too, is that, you know, it's different when it's coming from your homestead, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and there is something that is satisfying to be able to say, you know, we're producing our own red meat here on our homestead, because red meat has been kind of a gap on our homestead. We've got the chickens down. We've got the turkeys down. We've got the rabbits. Red meat is something that we just haven't been producing here on our homestead. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we'll try it. So what's new in your world?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to build a homestead from the ground up? Or maybe you're looking to build an off-grid dream home, a vacation home, or maybe just a piece of land to call your own. Visit yourcheapland.com to buy rural land in the wide open spaces of southwestern United States. When you visit yourcheapland.com, they're here to help you, and with their help, you can do this. You can take your dream of owning land and make it a reality. Most down payments are only $294, including the document fee. Remember, everyone qualifies for financing at yourcheapland.com. Head on over to yourcheapland.com and start making those dreams come true. And now, back to our podcast. My world has been pretty boring. Well, no.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah, exactly. No, happy to be back in milk. I'm just ecstatic. This particular goat, she's a La Mancha. And
full La Mancha.
Full blood La Mancha. Papers, everything. So really happy about that. And this year is really exciting for me. And I think our whole family, but we're doing a trial run this year, with just a few families that we know that are local here to our immediate area. We are test running a CSA program. Now, CSA stands for Consumer Supported Ag. And basically it's where somebody can say, they can come to a farm like ours and they can say, I'd like to buy some of the produce and some of the foodstuffs that come off of your farm. And you set up an agreement with your customers to provide said food boxes on either a weekly or every other week basis. So I'm just using a few families that I know who, you know, may need some help, with food and so forth to help me run this. Give it a trial run. And the reason why I'm doing it that way is because I really want to see the impacts on our family, like how that's going to impact us. Do we need to beef up our gardens? Do I need to focus and hone in on certain types of crops? Just a whole laundry list of things because I've never done this before. So I'm really working on that, wanting to see what that looks like, and just really trying to run it on an every other week basis. So it's definitely a different mindset when you're looking at the gardens, because instead of just thinking about your family and what your family needs, now you're thinking, or at least I'm starting to think, okay, crop rotations, you know, what can I put in what, you know, said space? Do I need to expand? Just a laundry list of things. So that is what's going on as far as the gardens are concerned. We're also hatching out new chicks. So we decided to dust off our incubators and we're making use of the excess eggs that our flock produces. And, you know, I have to say it's something that I love about having the dual purpose chickens is that we get their eggs and their meat. So we can, you know, by incubating and hatching out our own eggs rather than relying on a hatchery, we can do it in smaller batches. And, every time I hear, you know, like I just heard somebody, I was listening to a podcast earlier today, and I heard somebody say that, you know, they got their 50 chickens. And I thought to myself, Yeah, I just don't want to do 50 chickens in one day. I just don't. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't mind doing smaller batches of chickens and processing them instead of doing 50 in one go, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I like the idea of having a dedicated area to do the processing. We don't have to do any special setup. It's pretty much all there, mm-hmm. ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. Agreed. Well, there is more that's been going on, and that is the subject of today's podcast. So a few months ago, we did an episode about a financial storm is coming. And boy, did that storm come. It definitely hit our home. At the beginning of February, you were laid off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a hard pill to swallow. But honestly, I knew it was coming. You know, without going into too much detail, it was for some time I had those thoughts that something was going to happen. There was just mm-hmm. that feeling of where I was working specifically, but in general, there was this kind of thing going on in the tech industry.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty brutal. But you know, the first thing that helped was our faith. Mm-hmm. And we really concentrated a lot on prayer and took practical steps to assess our situation. Mm-hmm. Just to mention too, I mean, even before that, we took steps to put things in place. Like, for example, all of the different layers of preservation mm-hmm. of food, right? That helped, you know, having extra stock of, I don't know, things like toilet paper, practical things and mm-hmm. so on, right? But also, you know, saving, putting an emergency fund together and so on and diversifying that. Without going into too much detail, right, of our personal things, but
right.
those things helped. So, you know, then when it hit, when the storm happened, we cut all spending. So the yep. non-necessary stuff, right? We took account of our accounts, so to speak, mm-hmm. looked at where we were at, and kind of looked at, it was nice, was able to do an average of what are our bills in general, because, you know, the things like electricity and gas, water,
they change,
right? So it's kind of nice. I was able to take some time and say, hey, look at this. Our water bill is about this a month. Our gas bill is about this month, if you look at the last 6 months. And that helped us to kind of look at, hey, we're going to be okay for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, God's got this for us. So,
yes, he does.
So I can't emphasize enough, you know, try to weather a storm like that if it comes. Try to save enough money to cover your expenses for at least 3 months. Make that a goal. And if you can save more than that, the better, you know.
Right. And then we do keep credit cards, but we keep our balances pretty low. So we were able to pay those off right away when that hit.
Yep.
That was like one of the first things we did was paid them off and closed them, so to speak, in air quotes. We just didn't use them at all.
Yeah, the thinking behind that was if things got really bad and we had to use them, we'd still have time to make payments, but that would have been in a, you know, in a dire situation. Because mm-hmm. you can get into a bad situation if you can't get out of that hole, right?
Right. And then we did things during that month to really keep things low. For example, I was still doing the pantry challenge when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
I never talked about it on YouTube because I didn't feel like it was the right thing to do at that particular point in time. But yeah, I was in the pantry challenge. So I was already not spending money on groceries. But then I also did things like I cooked most of our meals in a roaster, Instapot, or an electric grill. And the reason why I did that, because our house, it uses gas, and gas can be pretty expensive. Now, I know there's industry standards and what have you, but we live in a very, 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 very small town. Very small town. And so the gas can, sometimes it can really shoot up, you know, so anyway.
The price of
gas, it can really get expensive. It can, mm-hmm. it can really just shoot up out of nowhere. So to cut that bill down, I made that switch, just to keep things, you know, keep the bills as low as we possibly could. And, you know, all the no-brainer things like turn off lights, you know, unplug things, things that you really should be doing on the daily anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you probably don't think about it as much until income gets cut. And then you're like, wait a minute, let's bring this in. So that way we're not spending hardly any money on anything.
Yep. And in the homestead, we also reverted back to cost cutting, you know, when it came to feeding animals. So even during the period when I was not bringing in income, we basically got down to, you know, what did they say? The bottom of the barrel. Now I appreciate that saying even more, the bottom of the barrel of seed for the chickens. So buying in bulk, I've said this before, I know just pure, the mm-hmm. seed alone, I can save about 40 to 50% by buying it in bulk where mm-hmm. I do. And then on top of that, you know, we had done sprouting of mm-hmm. seeds in the past, but I at least fermented it and that helped extend it. So I noticed I didn't have to put so much out each day. And of course, you know, any scraps from garden waste and so on, mm-hmm. we're able to use that and feed them, let them free range, and then growing some quick crops so we can feed them as well. So things like that helped. And, you know, we were able to buy hay, another thing, before the prices started going up. So I checked and the prices were almost half of what they had been last year at this time. So I thought, okay, this is the time, another benefit to having some money saved up. This is the time to buy. I can't remember how many bales, 15, somewhere on there, mm-hmm. but it, you know, it was enough to get us by for several months mm-hmm. for our herd. And then during that time, we were able to purchase our first La Mancha goat we mentioned,
mm-hmm.
And a new buck for the herd. And then, you know, those things we were able to do even without having income coming in. So basically I was able to find another job with another company. And when I look back on it, I wish maybe I had spent some of that time when I was off, maybe a little bit differently, but you know, in retrospect, I guess we'll talk a little bit more about that on the next episode, but we were able to weather it. You know,
we were,
and I'm not talking the goat weather. I'm talking, we were able to weather the storm.
Yeah.
And it was due to planning and, really just relying on the, principles of homesteading. I think for me, it's kind of reinforced. It's not just about homesteading is not just about growing food that tastes better, but you see the generosity that mm-hmm. comes out of, being able to grow your own food and think about how you can save and conserve and, you know, be creative. And it helped us.
Yeah. How to be the mindset of being a producer mm-hmm. and not a consumer.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we're going to stop this podcast at this point because, like you said, I think the next, so this is part one of We Weathered the Storm. We're part two. We're going to be talking about some of the things that we could have done differently. In retrospect, you know, hindsight is always 2020. So we're hoping that you as a listener can benefit from our firsthand and very fresh experience on how to weather a financial storm. Yeah, so that's going to do it for us here on our homestead this week. So from all of us to all of you, wherever you are in the world,
happy homesteading.
And be safe out there.